Adrian Pringle, MMT, RP, MTA, is the director of Beyond the Studio and co-founder of the Sing It Girls program. She is a registered psychotherapist and certified music therapist with over 20 years of experience working as a therapist, educator, lecturer, researcher, clinical supervisor, and performer. She is the past president of the Canadian Association of Music Therapists and currently provides services with CHM Therapy and Wilfrid Laurier and Concordia Universities. Adrienne's passion is using voice, song, and music to support emotional and physical health across the lifespan, from childhood to end of life. Kathy Thompson, BA, is a leader in business development across Canada and author of The Dandelion, Secrets to Growing Your Successful Business from Ground Up. Kathy and Adrienne formed the dynamic duo behind Beyond the Studio, Sing It Girls, the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast, and so much more. Join us as we take a behind-the-scenes tour of all they have built and their entrepreneurial journeys to date.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Able Voice Podcast with Haley and Kim.
Hello.
Today, we are excited to welcome the ladies of Beyond the Studio, Canadian Music Therapy Podcast, and Sing It Girls, Kathy and Adrienne. Welcome.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, great to see you both.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've all connected in a virtual space, and we're excited to invite you to the podcast to talk about all of the wonderful things that you do, the services that you offer, and the brand, the beautiful brand that you have created together. But first, before we get into all of the businessy things, we want to get to know you a little bit better. And something that we have been asking our guests this season is a little bit about their musical preferences. We do this as music therapists often when we're working with our therapy participants, but we want to know more about how we're using music for ourselves and the influences that inspire us to showcase who we are as people and as individuals outside of that professional hat. So I'm wondering if there are important songs that are on your playlist right now and why they're important to you.
Oh, I love this question, Haley, and I'm going to jump right in and answer it because songs are so important to me, and obviously for thousands of songs. And so I had a couple of thoughts about this because I often have earworms, which I think a lot of music therapists would relate to. And my earworms are actually usually directly connected to my clinical work. So my earworm today, which is the first song that comes to mind when I think about this question, is a new song that I'm learning for a group that I'm doing this afternoon in cancer support. So that's, you know, if I'm working on songwriting project or if I'm working on something with clients, that's usually what's in my head and also maybe on my playlist. So now, to make it a little bit more personal, I have a song that has been my song my whole life in many different ways. And that song is Over the Rainbow. So originally from Wizard of Oz, and goes back to very early childhood, and then became a song that I performed a lot, would use as an audition piece, that type of thing. And so taking it to today's playlist, it's Eva Cassidy's interpretation of Over the Rainbow. And I actually first was introduced to Eva Cassidy by my colleagues at the Credit Valley Hospital when I worked there. And there's something about her style and the way that she reimagines and interprets songs that really, I really connect with in terms of how I bring my presence and my voice to my work at bedside. So it reaches me that way, you know, from a clinical lens, but it's really just deeply touching and personal and important. And I love her voice and her story. So that's my song, Over the Rainbow.
I love getting to hear everyone's songs and the meaning behind it. That's such a special connection to that song, and a song that I think many of us can resonate with, but for those different reasons. Thanks for sharing, Adrienne. We'll have another playlist for this season. What about you, Kathy?
Yeah, I would say I have a very eclectic playlist, depending on what I'm doing. As a non-music therapist, I come from it from a different perspective, obviously, and I don't use music in my work, but I certainly listen to music while I work. So, for example, yesterday I put on Spotify a chill playlist. You know, the day before I was concocting my skiing playlist for this season. So I have everything from the Beastie Boys to Billy Joel to the Rolling Stones to rap music. So, you know, for me, it just depends on what I'm doing. And, you know, exercising and working out. So I definitely can't pick a favorite song. It really just depends on what I'm doing and, you know, the mood that I want to enhance at that time.
That's awesome. I think a lot of people will relate to that as well. What we hope to do with all of the collection of these stories is to create a Spotify playlist. So we have one that's generated for last season, and that's really great. This season, we're getting also some really great contributions, and I'm loving it. I just would never have thought to put these songs together. I'm exploring new things. So thank you for sharing those. I'll have to go and listen, especially to Eva Cassidy's version of Over the Rainbow, as that song is used in therapy quite a bit. I don't listen to that song personally. So it's fun to get to explore those outside of the therapy lens and using music for yourself and in the different ways that we do cling on to that tool as something that we can use. So staying on the same lines as musical influences, musical inspirations, we are a music therapy podcast. You also have a music therapy podcast. So we're wondering about your specific musical or music therapy influences in your life.
I love this question, Haley, and I think I'm going to go on a little bit. And so I'm reflecting on musical influences, and I go right back to earliest memories. So Before I Could Talk was a sponge for music, as most people are, I think, musical beings. I have memories of sitting with my record player as a three-year-old and having music be almost, I don't want to say fixation or obsession, but it was always been a huge part of my life. And I have so many broad tastes that I was trying to think, what would I say? But it's so eclectic. I'm drawn to folk music and musical theater and popular music. And something I really, really love, which maybe isn't surprising, is a cappella choral music. So this can be anything from, like, you know, Elmer Eisler's repertoire, the Elmer Eisler Singers, to chant, to like the Pitch Perfect movies. Like, I just love that sound of voices together with all of the tight harmonies and jazz standards and instrumental, you know, referential music and film music. Like, I can go on and on and on about that. Who influenced me right from the beginning? Thank God for my parents, because they certainly paid attention and made sure I had access to, first of all, it was records, and then recordings and performances, and the people who could help me along the way. So early days church music, and I am going to name names because these people are so important to me. So from a musical perspective, I remember we were so fortunate to have David McDonald as the organist at our church in Halifax, and he's a pretty renowned organist at the time. So helped just guide when I was six and begging for music lessons, and my mother didn't have a clue what to do with me. And then growing up in the Halifax school system, we had so much access. So I played the uke, I played the cello, we played the recorder. So all of that just happened at school. And then Linda Tyler, who is still a dear friend to me and my family, became my piano teacher and mentor. And she taught me piano, guitar, auto harp, recorder, and in her day would have become a music therapist if that had been an opportunity for her. And Jane Howlett, Kay Potty. Katie Jacobs is a music therapist who I believe now practices in Manitoba, but when I was in high school, Katie was one of the first music therapists in Halifax. And so I was able to go and observe some of her work, and she was doing beautiful community music therapy groups before that was a term that we used to capture our work. And I was so inspired by observing her, and I realize I'm going on and on. So I'll say, going to university and studying music, all of my professors in my music degree, and then music therapy influences, being able to go to Wilfrid Laurier and work with Rosemary Fisher and Colin Lee and Carolyn Arneson and eventually Heidi Ahonen, and all of my classmates, my supervisors, Maureen Donnell. And then from clinical music therapy inspiration or influences, things that influence my practice, of course, would be like the humanistic perspective and Carl Rogers and client-centeredness, and then, you know, bringing in community music therapy, very much compassion-focused, and love listening to Gabor Maté and the work of Dr. Kristen Neff. A dream for me is to someday complete the GIM training, and so having that level one training and working with my trainers was also very important. And having said all of that, you know, my collaborators like Kathy and Sarah Klink, who I co-supervise with, but at the end of all of that, the most important teachers and influences are the people that I've been able to work with, my clients, and people who, you know, we spend that intimate time and place with in sessions, and that's where we really learn and are inspired. And so thank you for asking that question.
That was so beautifully put, Adrienne. And, you know, I resonate so deeply with that last sentiment specifically of how much we learn from the people that we work with. And I think people get the perspective that when we're going into sessions, you know, we're going in to change, to help, to support. But so much of what we get out of the experience too is equally meaningful. So I appreciate that you highlight that as part of your journey. And I also appreciate that, you know, you half jokingly said, you know, I'm going on and on and on, but what a important thing to be able to go on and on about, right? We are collections of the people and the experiences that we come into contact with throughout our lives that contribute to our journey and perhaps in some cases steer us in one direction or the other or plant a seed that we weren't otherwise expecting. That leads me to where we're wanting to dig into a little bit more now is the rest of your journey, the two of you together, Kathy and Adrienne. You know, Haley, when she introduced the episode, mentioned how much you do. You have Sing It Girls, you have Beyond the Studio, you have the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast, and just that overall brand. And so can you tell us a little bit about what the journey to becoming this dynamic duo that led to developing all of these projects and beyond the studio? how do we get here?
Yeah, so really fate brought us together, but more concretely, actually, Mom and Me class brought us together. Let's see, that would be just this year, 20 years ago. And so we were both traveling out east. We both had like 5 months old kids or whatever. And we sat beside each other at a mom and baby class, and then we hit it off. So that was really the first time we met, and then stayed friends because it was a first time moms. And then we, you know, obviously did other classes together. And then years later, so that would have been, in 2004 we met. And then probably around 2010, 2011, Adrienne and I were talking. And at the time I had a business I'd started called, and I still have it, called Beyond the Classroom. And so that provides one-on-one in-home tutoring for kids. And so I started that in 1998. And now we've branched to online. But Adrian at the time was working in music therapy and as a music educator and was getting so many requests and really full, and thought, you know, we could maybe use and partner on a model like Beyond the Classroom to offer music lessons and music therapy. And so at that time, so I would say that was probably 2011, 2012. And then we went into business together in 2013 and established Beyond the Studio and also Sing It Girls that same year. So Beyond the Studio offers music therapy and music lessons, and we're just branching into psychotherapy. And then Sing It Girls came to be because of my background working at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. And so my role there was a consultant for youth programming, particularly for young women with depression. And so I worked on a lot of research and projects for that for years. And then Adrian coming at the music therapy perspective, community singing. And we both at that time had daughters around the same age, 6, 7 years old, which is our target group for Sing It Girls. And so we thought, wow, we could create this program that's evidence-based, really use both of our strengths to come together and help our own daughters with anxiety, self-confidence, things like that, with this program that we intuitively knew was going to really make an impact. And so that's how that, so these two brands per se are married, but developing beside each other, I guess, over time. And then introduced the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast, and we launched that in 2021. And so that was something that we talked about just to make a greater impact in the music therapy community. I had been doing some research on podcasts. I've learned about the impact of it and how you can really create just some awareness about particular issues. So I brought the idea to Adrian, and then we talked about it and decided on a format. I thought, well, let's be bold. Let's call it the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast. And we weren't sure, you know, we did some research and thought, well, can we do this? And then we did. And then, yeah, so we're still continuing with that.
That's awesome. I love the, you know, that mentality of we did a little bit of research. Can we actually do this? And then we just went for it. I think that's a mindset that Haley and I both really resonate with.
Absolutely. You have to. I mean, why not?
And how organic of a connection. Tim was talking just in the previous question about seeds that get planted that help to shape or influence the direction that you might take. And had you not met at that Mom and Me class, who knows what path you would be on right now. And look how much, you know, the relationship and the business partnership that you have has developed since that point, just from making a simple connection in your personal life.
Yeah. And it really did spring from, you know, that relationship and that trust. And we realized that we both have distinct skill sets. You know, mine is more rooted in business, and I don't have a background in music therapy or music. And I'm definitely an ally for a music therapist, interviewing lots of them on our podcast and having a company that we do music therapy. So I've learned a lot. My daughter is now 17, and she started with music lessons with Adrian when she was 4. So really that musicality that I don't have, I learned through her. And so it's just a really interesting dynamic of learning through Adrian, learning through my daughter, and interviewing a bunch of music therapists like yourselves on the podcast, and really learning a lot about the amazing work that music therapists do. It's awesome.
The more the merrier. We need more allies, especially with skill sets like yours. I think it makes for such a beautiful connection, and they marry very well together. You know, I think the fight in our music therapy community is still to be very well connected within the interdisciplinary healthcare field, the allied health professionals. And I think connections like this are definitely a way forward and very, I don't want to say progressive, because it should feel normal by now and it just makes sense. But it is something that is still considered progressive, I suppose. One day, the hope is that it will be. But seeing how things work so well and marry so well with services like these that you have created and offer will, I believe, create a path toward that for future music therapists and opportunities there. So thank you for taking that step and taking that leap of faith to create these projects. How important is it for both of you to have created these brands based on things that were important in your life or surrounded around ideas that you were seeing in your own personal lives. You said a little bit about how Sing It Girls came to be after noticing that there was a need in this area and in the community and within your own girls' lives. How important is it to have that connection when building this kind of brand?
Hugely important, because you are connected to it. And oftentimes when you're building a brand or building a company, your core values are entwined with it. And in order to build a successful business and be committed to the longevity that it takes, you have to be invested. You have to feel that passion for what you're doing. And a lot of businesses I see fizzle out or don't have that longevity because the owners or founders aren't connected deeply to what they're doing. So I think that that connection piece is important. But I wanted to talk about a few different things with respect to the branding piece, because I know that's something you wanted to talk about today. So there's lots of different elements of branding, but I wanted to highlight just three. So consistency is one element of branding, the unique positioning of your company, and I wanted to talk about your audience. And so in terms of the consistency, we've had a consistent brand for Beyond the Studio since the start. We have the same logo, same look and feel, everything for the last 11 years. Sing It Girls, the same thing. So we started with this sort of coloring, this brick wall. We had the logo developed early on. It's a trademarked brand. And so that brand, those two brands have not changed. And then same with the Canadian Music Therapy podcast, because we want it to be recognizable. We want people to just see it instantly and have that association. So I think over longevity, the consistency is important. And I was coaching someone recently with her business, and she was recommended that she change her brand on her podcast because she's been doing it for a year and just change it up. And I was like, well, it's just a year, you know, maybe you want to give it a few years because it's recognizable. People know what it is. So I think consistency is an important part of branding, and it doesn't mean it can't change, but that's something that's important. And funny enough, Beyond the Studio, we have a treble clef that's part of our logo, and it has been the whole time. But now that we're offering psychotherapy services, we need to rebrand. You know, that's a cause for us to go, okay, well, that logo doesn't necessarily fit with this service offering. So really making that transition. And right now we're undergoing a little bit of a rebrand conceptually, and we'll sort of roll that out. But, you know, introducing a new service could cause for that rebrand to make sure that you're echoing your same, you know, marketing and brand awareness. And then in terms of the unique positioning, that's what we found with Sing It Girls. To your point, is that there was that need. We saw it in our daughters. We saw the evidence. We brought, you know, our skill sets and passions together to create this unique program that has been licensed across Canada. And now we have changed not our branding, but actually our model for Sing It Girls. So that's a little bit different. So our branding remains the exact same, but we went from Adrian and I offering it in her living room at the start of Sing It Girls, you know, just testing the model. Then we had music therapists that we hired in groups across Ontario to run the program. Then we thought, okay, let's do this a little bit differently and sell licenses. As you know, you guys purchased the license to operate it. And then now we're phasing out the licenses. And the reason for that is because we found that we really want this program to be more accessible to young women. We want it to continue to be facilitated by music therapists or allied professionals. But at this point, it's all music therapists. But making it available outside of Canada, into the US, into the UK, into Australia. And so that's that forward vision. However, our branding will still remain consistent. So it's a little bit of a change with that. And then the third branding piece is the audience piece. So looking at, you know, who is your audience? And so for Beyond the Studio, it's different from Sing It Girls. So Sing It Girls' audience is music therapists. Ultimately, that's who we're selling to. And Beyond the Studio, our audience are people using the services, you know, people getting music lessons, people getting music therapy and psychotherapy. But then the audience for the podcast are music therapists as well. And niching your audience in a branding way is important. And so when we hired our podcast producer, she does different types of podcasts. And I came to her with the idea. I said, okay, Adrian and I are doing this. We're going to launch this podcast. It's our audience, our music therapist. And she's like, okay. Like, I'm not sure, but she has confidence in me. She's like, whatever, just I'll support you, whatever you're doing. And so she actually told me, she says this in presentations about this niching of the audience. So she's like, okay, whatever, like music, sure. So she produced it. And then she came to us, she's like, oh my gosh, you guys are getting so many downloads. Like, this is the most successful podcast that I produce. And so I checked the downloads today, and we have 17,771 downloads. And it goes to looking at that audience from a brand perspective and really niching and looking at, like, how can we really hit that target audience and do what they need us to do. So that those are some of the important parts about the branding that I feel in those three different areas might be useful for your listeners.
We love little tidbits that people can take away. And those three points that you've highlighted, I think, are going to be really key for anybody that might be looking for ideas on what to do if they're starting a business, if they are wanting to rebrand, if they're wanting to start a new project that is maybe connected to something they already do. If people want to have partnerships and merge two ideas together, I think those will really be points that serve any universal idea that somebody wants to promote into the world and into the space that they feel the most inspired to be in.
I love listening to you share our story, Kathy, and just want to echo everything that you said. And you know, your question, Haley, about our personal connection to our work, I mean, it's really everything for me. It's at the heart of who I am and expanding what, you know, you reach a point where you can't do it all by yourself. Having a partner who has expertise like Kathy is just so important for our business, so important for me personally, because she does the things that would be really challenging for me to do and learn. And we're a really great balance to one another, because we both bring this passion and joy to what we're doing, and then we can do a lot of visioning together. And that's something Kathy was doing for me before we started our business. So kind of a question she asked me as a friend was, you know, like, what are your dreams? What do you want to do in the next 10 years? Make me a list. Let's do this. Let's go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a great question. And so I did. And I have to be honest, when I go back and look at that list, I think we did them all. Like, we really did them all. And so isn't that amazing? And then to be able to keep going with that. And I mean, deeply personal, just to touch on Sing It Girls and how we built this program for our daughters based on what the challenges we were seeing them have. Both of our daughters have beautiful voices and love to sing. And so they really did inspire the program, and they learned in the program, and they would both come home, even in high school, and say, oh, I really need a Sing It Girls session today. Like, so they have all of these resources within them. And so I just want to personally give a shout out to my daughter, Bailey, who's studying music at your alma mater, Haley, at Acadia, and will be listening to this. So just really, so our girls are so creative and artistic and have such great resources themselves because of what we were able to start there. So yeah, to tie into that example. Now, I have a question for both of you, because, you know, we know that you have an amazing brand with Synergy and all sorts of amazing things that you have done. So I want you to tell us, if you will, more about how your partnership came to be and about your brand story.
Kim and I's path crossed. We just happened to be in the same place at the same time. I was working in Kingston, and Kim's family was in Kingston. So after Kim finished her degree in music therapy, she moved back to Kingston to work. So we were all in the same place, and we became fast friends. And then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, the world went into this state of not being able to connect in the same way as we used to. And we would meet up in the park because it was in the open air and you couldn't be in the same household anymore. So that's what we did. We walked down the street, Kim with her doggos and me with my podcast in ear. And we would meet at the park and just have friend time together. And in that friend time, naturally, sometimes would lead into peer supervision, debriefing some of the things that we were dealing with in our music therapy jobs and some of the, you know, cases that we were dealing with. So naturally, it just became this space for peer supervision. And eventually, the idea came to us of, maybe there is a way that we can do this more formally. This is something that we're enjoying, something that's really helping us. And we're in this area. Kingston's not necessarily remote, but it is kind of separate to the bigger music therapy communities. You know, like there's a really big collection of music therapists in Ottawa, and there's a really big collection of music therapists in the GTA. But in Kingston, there was really only like a handful of us. During this time, I think there was only three. There was only three of us in the area. So really finding people that you could connect to and have that meaningful peer supervision with were few and far between. And we came up with the idea for Able Voice Podcast so that we could start connecting and outreaching more to people and having these meaningful conversations that were going to be helpful, not only for ourselves, but to build connections with other people and to know that we're not as isolated as we feel and that our experiences are relatable and kind of a validation for ourselves, but also just a source of strength during a time when the world looked very different when it comes to connection. And from there, we decided that we needed a way to fund the podcast because it was becoming something that people were loving. They were enjoying it. We were showing up on social media and people were really connecting with us. They wanted to hear more. They were reaching out to us before we had a chance to reach out to them to come on the podcast and be guests. And so if this was something that was going to be more than a hobby, we needed to find a way to again, make this feasible for us in our time and the effort that we were going to start putting into it. So we connected with a local friend of ours who was an artist, and she is a fellow musician as well. She worked with us all in a local theater company, but she had a passion for making stickers and had started her sticker business during the pandemic as well. So we all kind of came together in a marriage of convenience, and we collaborated on our first music therapy sticker line that we sold, and it sold more than we expected it to and was really, really well received. Those three stickers, it was just Music Therapy Matters, Simple Music Therapy Matters,
Music Therapy Awareness, which was like a brain that has music notes and all different elements in it in a small music therapy awareness, I think it says. Yeah.
Music Therapy Rocks. So very simple messaging that I feel like was clearly important for the music therapy community to have. And yeah, those sold and those helped to support the podcast, and it helped it to grow to what it is now. We're in season 5 of the Able Voice Podcast, and we have a team. So we now have an editor and a producer of the show so that we can just show up and, you know, have the conversations that we love having. From there, we kind of just figured out that we work really well together. And that led to synergy.
I liked the term you used, marriage of convenience, for some of those collaborations, Haley. But it's also, what's that saying? Necessity is the mother of invention. And I hear that in your story as well, based on the programs and projects that you've developed. But that really was the case for Haley and I. Like she said, fast friends leading to deep conversations. And I really cherish those kinds of relationships where you can have real, authentic, deep conversations, not just about the good, but about the change and about the wishes is and the dreaming and the what impact can we have. And I think that was a big catalyst for each little piece of our journey. And like Haley said, you know, it kind of came one thing at a time that eventually led us to Synergy. And Sing It Girls was actually one of those pieces as well. When Haley was still here in Kingston, we learned about the amazing program and it was something we connected with. And so we decided to run some virtual groups here, which also just kind of fed into the direction of what we wanted to see for Synergy for our practice, which came out of all of these wonderful collaborations. Thank you for asking that question, Adrian. I think it's nice for us to be able to revisit that too, because I think sometimes we get into the do and build, dream. And it's nice to be able to reflect on how did we get here? And also then where do we continue to go? Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't.
It is really nice. And it's really inspiring to hear your story. And also, I love the overlaps and similarities and parallels to our story.
It's also great when I think, Adrian, you mentioned that the different skill sets that you each bring to the table also really help. There are things that Kathy is maybe not better at, but finds a little bit more easy to do or can do in less time than Adrian can figure out. And those kinds of things are really useful to a partnership as well. In the almost 3 years that we've had Synergy, we're heading into our third year of Synergy. And before that, even the podcast, when it started in March of 2020, I think we were at a conference, an MTAO conference in Ottawa. And we were recording some of our first episodes then. And it was just, I can remember that time. And then after, the world kind of just crumbled. But it's been such a journey for us. I think we had maybe a little bit of a backwards or deconstructed journey toward what is now Synergy. We started with all of these smaller projects that have now led to a bigger home and a bigger community in Synergy. And I think the most important thing that Kim and I really resonate with in continuing to build the brand of Synergy is to make sure that everything we do has purpose and has a greater meaning to it than just to make money. It's not about that for us. And really creating spaces for music therapists and creative people to thrive in these spaces. And building connections is one of those ways that we like to do it. So thank you for, you know, creating the Sing It Girls program and that being something that also helped to shape the direction that we went in eventually. It's been a meaningful piece that continues to do well in the services that we offer through Synergy. I think it's just so interesting how we can see what is the current version of somebody's business ideas, but learning more about the background and how it came to be, I find to be the most valuable insight that somebody can get. And the journeys are not done. I think there's still a lot to be done in the group of people that we have here today. And I'm excited to see more of what the future holds. So with that, thinking kind of reflexively and looking back on your younger selves, I'm wondering if there's something that you would tell your younger self about your journey as it is today. What would you tell yourself back then if you knew better?
I love this question, Haley. And I think this is something that's also really important for us to reflect upon. And in thinking about this, I'm also thinking of things that I try to remember to talk about with students, because of course we can see our younger selves reflected in the future therapist that we might have the opportunity to work with. So what I would say to my younger self and what my younger self needed to hear is, you don't need to have all the answers. And you do need to have realistic expectations for yourself. So something that I would have struggled with and maybe sometimes still do is, you aren't expected to know or understand something that you really haven't had the opportunity to learn or experience yet. And then something that I say to everyone, so younger self, older self, everyone, it's really important that you recognize that you don't know what you don't know, right? So it kind of ties into that. And then finally, just as an emerging therapist, it's helpful to really grasp that learning to be a therapist is a process of growth, and that it takes time and it unfolds over time and it changes and it matures right along with life. So those are things that I'm sure people said to me, maybe I heard them, but I know would have been really helpful to understand. How about you, Kathy?
Mine is, don't be afraid to trust your intuition and make bold decisions. So I think that in business, because that's my background, often people don't recognize the role that their intuition plays on decision making. And because it's not black and white on paper, proven at that point, doesn't mean it's not going to be successful. So at certain pivotal points in my journey with business, I have listened to my intuition when it was very clear. And other times I didn't, and that's fine. But even recently, even last week, I just felt compelled by intuition saying, you have to go to this conference. You have to reach out to these people. And it was just so compelling that I did. I thought, well, I have to trust my intuition. I have to do this. And I don't know why necessarily. I can't predict the outcome, but I trust that whatever's meant to be is going to be there. And to make bold decisions, you know, I talked to my daughter about that. Why not? Like, she's been an actor for about 10 years. And I always think what I've learned from that is, why not her? Why not you? Why not, you know, because I thought, well, if she could do a commercial, that'd be awesome. Like, that'd be fun. Great. And then she did. And then she did another one. She was very successful for this period of time. And it helped shape me to think, like, why not her? Why not her? Why not me? You know, you think, well, it's somebody else is going to get that. Somebody else can do it. Somebody else, you know, but why not you? Why don't you start that? So I think that goes along with that bold decision and even bold actions, I would say.
Both really incredible answers. And I think, you know, Adrian, you hit the nail on the head with the, well, I'm sure someone already said it to me when I was growing up, and people say all sorts of things. And sometimes we're not in that headspace to receive it yet, or we're not at that point in the journey. So I can appreciate that for sure. And, you know, Kathy, what a powerful statement, a reminder of why not? Right? We can come up with so easily billions of reasons why not, why I'm not the one, why I'm not qualified enough, why I don't have, you know, the information, to your point, Adrian, that I'm not supposed to know yet because I've not experienced it. But somehow we get really into our heads that way. And if we can just take that step back to allow that question, why not me, to sit in, you know, that parallel with your daughter and acting too, like, actors go to so many auditions. Like, they say you have to do 100 auditions before you book a role. And that can be really deterring for people. But if you're the one, you're the one. And if you have a fit, then you have a fit. And you never know how you're going to connect with a role or with a person or with an opportunity until you just go and try. And if you don't, yeah, you try again.
And that's the thing. It is that it's basically 99.9% failure. Yeah. If you consider that in acting, like, it's extremely rare. If you get an audition, they say mm-hmm. that you have actually won. Like, it's a good thing, right? That you're actually getting pulled in for an audition. But, oh yeah, like, she was busy with work, but, oh, I don't even know, thousands of auditions. And so, but that shapes you because you do your best and then you let it go. Mm. And so now, you know, for example, for her, she's applying for universities. She just does her best and lets it go. I said, are you nervous?
That's awesome.
About it? She's like, no. And I think, well, no, she's been trained, like, subconsciously, not purposely, but she does her best work and then she lets it go and lets the universe decide what's going to happen. And so that, I think, is an interesting learning.
Yeah, that's an incredible skill to have. It's hard to do that. To not get caught up on, you know, the places you could have changed things or, you know, the what ifs. So that's a really admirable skill, especially at a younger age, to be able to have gained that, to know, yep, okay, we just keep on moving. We trust the process and whatever will be, will be. Thank you so much for both of you for sharing those reflections. I know that your younger selves would both be very proud of your journeys and probably surprised because there's been some pivots and shifts, you know, and like Haley said, the journey continues. So there's still lots that I know we'll see from the both of you together independently. So feel free to answer this question either as your individual selves or collaborators or both. But curious if there is something that you hope for your future self, future selves along the continuation of your journey.
I hope to keep learning and growing, to keep practicing and searching, seeking out connection and being innovative and creative and having more new ideas and being able to share them. And so I think that applies both personally and to the work that Kathy and I do together.
Yeah, I agree with the innovation and creativity. That's something that's really important to me, just in terms of my personal and professional, exactly what Adrienne's saying. I also think that for me, I love helping people. And so doing that in different ways, you know, imparting new knowledge through hosting the Canadian Music Therapy podcast or looking at different ways to model the Sing It Girls so more girls across the world can have access to this program, you know, through my tutoring company, through other different initiatives. I think for me, the core of it is, you know, educating myself and then bringing that knowledge and innovation and creativity out to the world to help people.
I love both of those hopes, and we wish that for you as well. And to tie into the point of continuing to make connections, we'd love for people listening to this episode to connect further with you. How can they do that?
Beyondthestudio.ca.
Woo! Yeah. So I hope that you do make these connections. Kathy and Adrienne are both wonderful people to connect with and to learn from. And just before we close out this episode, again, we're going to bring some of the music back into the space, but we're wondering if we can just do a round of high notes to end. We're going to end on a high note. And I love the chaos that this ensues because it's not about what we sound like. It's not about perfection. It's just about the feeling.
Yeah, reiterate that. It's not about judgments or beauty, especially because it's like 10:30 in the morning for most of us, 10:30, 11:30. So
we're going to be bold.
Be waking up. Yeah, be bold. Okay. My high note is... Adrienne, I'm tossing it to you.
Somewhere. There you go.
Woo!
Passing the baton to Kathy.
And thank you for listening to the Able Voice podcast. If you want to hear more episodes so like this, subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media at Synergy Music Therapy.
You can also find links to our most recent and top-rated episodes on our website at www.synergymusictherapy.com.